Hello, everyone. It's time for Basement Sports Podcast. We did our NFL draft special.
We did.
Last week, and now we are just getting into stuff.
We did our fantasy baseball.
We did our fantasy baseball before that, and now we're just getting into stuff.
Regular sports on a weekly Pittsburgh, you know, week.
A little national stuff, too. We want to talk some national basketball championship, the NCAA.
And we also need to remind everybody that the Penguins are fighting for their lives for the playoffs, since it's a Pittsburgh thing.
This might be, if Crosby wills this team into the playoffs, it might be one of his best accomplishments, honestly.
He's actually, it's unbelievable what the kind of year he had. And I'm going to say at his age, because we're both damn near twice as old as him, but maybe not that bad. But he's 30, what is he, 33? I see more than that. Do you remember?
I'll have to take a look.
Yeah, anyway, have the producer look that up while we're chatting. But one of the things that I just find remarkable about him is he really doesn't take any time off. Like, I guess I need to explain
36.
That. He's 36, right? Mm-hmm. And he's having a year that any 26-year-old would be proud of.
Yeah, he's having a year.
And he's on a team that's not that good. So your point of him willing them to the playoffs isn't that far out. And why in the hell is Malkin finally playing hockey like a professional since his parents visited him?
I don't know.
Is maybe he that big of a mama's boy?
Maybe,
or
maybe his dad came
cooking?
Here and kicked him in the ass.
But he's been he played very well the last during the streak where they are unbeaten.
Right.
They're like 5-0-3 or 6-0-3 in their last nine. There is a little caution with me about the way they're not playing Jarry at all. I'm not a Jarry guy. I told you when when he handed the puck to the other team
to the Rangers
in front of the net in overtime, and they scored the goal that he can't come back. Mm-hmm. You can't re-sign a guy that single-handedly with a boneheaded move like that ended your run, ended your season. Mm-hmm. So I didn't like that at all. I would have never signed him. However, if you're going to have two goalies in the playoffs,
right?
Playoffs. Doesn't he need to see some action?
He's going to need to.
Well, maybe not. I mean, he goes against professionals every day in practice. So you don't know.
No, you don't. You don't. We're gonna get back to hockey.
All right, let's go.
Let's start off with baseball.
Yep.
Let's talk Pirates.
First place Pirates.
First place Pirates 9-3 right now. We're nine. Started out 9-2.
Should
be 10-2. You know, if you look at their lineup right now, you've got three. Well, one close enough to 300. They are hitting the ball. So they're top three. O'Neill Cruz is hitting .298 right now.
Yeah, it won't last, but go ahead.
Yeah, he's 14 hits, scored 7 runs, has 4 RBI and 1 home run. And then, you know, Connor Joe's hitting for average. He's at .324. Key Brian Hayes is at .313. And then Rowdy Tellez at .273. But he's not getting as many at bats.
Yeah,
Brian, and then kind of pulling out there, Brian Reynolds at .250, Triolo at .250, and then Sawinski .190, and Henry Davis kind of surprisingly at .156.
Here's the thing about Henry Davis: his batting average of balls put in play is horrendous.
Yeah.
So he's hit some line drives that have been caught. He's hit in some bad luck.
Right.
He's not swinging and missing a whole lot. He's not getting full, but he's. I don't understand why the Pirates didn't catch him at all last year. I don't. They just wouldn't do it.
Right.
All because of Andy Rodriguez, I guess, who's hurt now, so he can't catch. But he's doing a good job behind the plate. He's going to hit. That's what he does. You can either hit a baseball or you can't.
Well, another guy that's hitting the baseball for the Pirates is Michael Taylor, .375.
Yeah, that's not going to maintain either.
Yeah, I mean, Kutch is Kutch. He'll get a little bit better. I mean, he's .208.
Kutch is hitting some bad luck as well.
Right,
he's hit. I think I watched two games in a row where he lined out to the base of the right field wall, like three times in one game. It was crazy.
He's still looking for home run number 300.
Yeah, he'll be fine. The thing about the Pirates, and I knew their offense would be better, but the thing I don't understand or what the big bugaboo was or starting pitching, it might be the best in baseball. Mm-hmm. Through 12 games, if you look at the starters' combined ERA, even Brady Falter's horrendous first inning where he gave up five or six runs the first start, he pitched six innings of one-hit ball his last time out.
Yeah.
Perez looks like you can't tell what pitch is coming. Because he doesn't throw 93. I mean, that's it. He's not like he's blowing 99 by you. His fastball is only like 93 mile an hour, but he has 17 curveballs and a slider. The Jones kid who throws 99.
Yeah, Jared Jones.
No movement on his ball. So far this year, but again, it's been cold.
His opponent average is 200.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're getting, and Keller's been their worst pitcher.
Yeah. Except for the first game against the Tigers, he pitched pretty decent, but it's not as good as the other guys.
That's my point, though.
It's the Tigers. Yeah.
And I think earlier you had said on the baseball preview that he's not an ace. He could be a number three. Mm-hmm. And most staffs, one of our experts
said that he's not getting paid ace money. But my comeback would be he's getting paid ace money as a Pirate. Okay, you know what I mean. Like you can't compare ace money to the Dodgers or you know the Mets or anybody like
they overspend.
The Pirates. He's getting paid as their ace, and I don't think he's an ace. I don't think he's number one starter.
He's going to be a three when Skeens comes up. Yeah. If Jones continues to keep
pitching like this,
now you're getting a three, and then you can get into is he getting paid too much for a number three starter? Question is, we don't know. He hasn't been great, but. You know, the pitching early in the year, we've had some bad weather days.
Right.
These breaking ball pitchers and slider pitchers, when it gets to be 100 and the ball breaks an extra 3 inches in the heat and humidity, it's just not happening right now.
No.
And it's not just Pittsburgh. It's around the league.
Right.
So that's why I like the fact that the Pittsburgh starters have been so good. They're going to get – I mean, some of those Pittsburgh players like Perez Falter, who has a slider and a slow curveball, that stuff's going to be better when it gets warm out.
Looking at their relievers, I mean, we can certainly talk about David Bednar. Well, actually, let's talk about David Bednar right now. You know, there was a lot of word on social media. It's like, okay, is this the day they're going to announce, or tomorrow going to be the day they announce that David Bednar is being put on the IL?
Yep.
Meanwhile,
he threw 97.
Yeah, I don't think it's an injury. I think it just might be, you know, could it be a technique? Could it be
something? I think it was just an anomaly. He couldn't get he had no idea where his curveball was going.
Right.
And if that's it, and the hitters can sit on fastball, you're done.
Right.
You don't have a choice.
You can't locate your other pitches.
There's a difference between major league and double A pitchers, secondary stuff for strikes, any time in the count. Now, my question is, did he not throw a curveball in the bullpen? Like, did he not tell somebody, the coach in the bullpen, like, dude, I have no idea where this is going. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, because I don't think Perez, who threw eight innings of one-run ball,
yeah.
Like, I don't know what his pitch count was, and I don't know if our producer can find it in a timely manner, but I probably... 99% of closers in MLB today would have brought in their closer with a two-run lead.
He was for that game against the Tigers.
Yeah, eight innings.
Eight innings, six hits, one earned run, seven strikeouts.
Do you know how many pitches?
That's what I'm trying to find right now.
So my question would be: if he only threw say 88 pitches, I let him start the ninth. Now I don't let him qualify for the loss. So if he gets a guy on, I'm taking him out right away. I'm bringing in Bednar.
Yeah.
But you might not need Bednar. And the other thing about Bednar, again, it was a cold, shitty day.
Mm-hmm. He threw 100 pitches.
All right. So then 100 people, 100 managers out of 100 would have brought in their closer.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's off the hook as far as the coach is.
Right, right.
Now, did he let him in too long? Well, I don't know. Do you want to see if Bednar can get out of it, or do you want to get another guy up that throws that can't play the next day?
Would you have put Chapman in?
No, I would have went with Bednar.
No, but I'm saying, like...
Honestly, probably not, because...
Okay.
Simply because then he's available to close the next game if Bednar's unavailable.
Yeah, but they had a day off. That's what I was thinking. Yeah, In that game, they had a day off.
All Bednar does, he couldn't throw a curveball. He's not hurt. The only thing that's hurt is his ego. Mm-hmm. He's been their best player, most reliable player, period, for 2 years. Two or three years now.
Yeah.
And for the fans to boo him, I think you're assholes. Here's the point about eat a dick fans in baseball. Don't go to the game and be on your phone for nine innings. Don't go to the game and take selfies of the beautiful park.
But this is
PNC.
What people do at PNC. It's not because the team has been so bad for so long.
Exactly
You're not getting a field full of fans, well, of actual baseball
but
fans.
But it's every park. How many times have you been to a game where they boo if the guy throws a pickoff to first?
Right.
That's baseball. They do that for a reason. You know, these fans that boo because he tried to pick them off, they don't know baseball.
Right.
So these people, the majority of the people don't go down there that know baseball. I'm telling you right now, they don't. It's a beautiful park. They can tell their friends. They can check in on Facebook so all their friends know that they took the kids to the Pirate game. Good. Right. Congratulations. But they don't know baseball. And you can prove it by booing the best guy on your team for 2 years. Did he have a bad outing? Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
He sure did. But he had no idea where his curveball was going. And even then, even when he had no fucking clue where that ball was going, you can't throw a fastball every pitch.
Right.
You can't do it.
Major league hitters are going to catch up to you.
And Detroit's got some good young hitters.
Yeah, they do.
They had a winning record going into that series.
They're better this year than they were last year. That's a better baseball team over there.
I think the record was better.
Yeah.
They had a winning record going into that series.
Couple of wild walk-off endings in the Orioles series.
One wild.
But I mean...
42 infield hits and a bad throw. Got them one game. That's just everybody simmer the hell down.
It was fun. Like, it was...
It's fun when they're running around the bases.
My prediction would have been, if I was at the casino and I could lay money on it, every time I would put $5 down on if the Pirates have the bases loaded and nobody out there not scoring.
If you watch these Pirates, they're getting by on pitching, starting pitching, and these ridiculous infield bunts, like swinging bunts, and then the next guy hits a double. But it's not like they're getting five hits in a row that are just ripped.
Right.
And they also start a season against five left-handers, so I get it why Sawinski's not batting. He didn't even play for the first... Hell, the first series, I don't think he didn't start
against
lefties, which I don't agree with. I think he should be in there. He's one of those guys you got to play because of his power, and especially at home with that right field wall, he's got to play.
Yeah.
So I don't agree with that. But, I mean, who do you sit? Michael A. Taylor looks like he's the second coming of Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
hitting everything. He's Ty Cobb. He's hitting line drives all over the field, and he's fast. He was a Phillies prospect, by the way.
Okay, well, maybe that's the reason why.
Should have held
on to him.
Well, the Phillies don't have a center fielder, by the way.
Yeah.
So, he's going to come down. He absolutely is going to come down. But Hayes is hitting. I'm surprised at how many home runs they've hit. They did hit a lot in spring training.
Yeah.
But with the weather being as cold and as shitty and rainy and damp. I'm surprised. Now, Cruz only has one.
Well, they hit the majority of their home runs in Miami.
They did. Where it was warm.
Yeah, it was warm. And they even had the roof open once or twice. Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
So, there you go. And then they come here, and the one game, I think it was, we were watching. Yeah, I was actually up at camp. We were watching that on Saturday. And the snow coming
sleet.
Down. Yeah, I was like, holy hell. No, actually, it was Friday.
Friday.
It was Friday. Yeah, we were watching the game on Friday, the opener. And it was just snowing like hell.
The experts that we had on the fantasy baseball podcast that we guided, they all went to the opener. And they said it was pretty ugly.
Yeah. Yeah, the weather. That sucks. Getting in weather like that for baseball. That just sucks. Football, you can sit through it and you get it.
Well, football is more fun.
Yeah, it is more fun.
Snowing, you're cold, people are hitting.
Yeah, I'm drunk.
Yeah, you just drink more.
Yeah, you do. You absolutely do.
But, I mean, the Pirates, who else in that division? Maybe I'm going to still say Milwaukee.
Yeah.
But other than that, you don't know what Cincinnati's going to do, right? I mean, why couldn't they stay in this race, at least for a wild card until maybe July, August?
Well, I mean, stay in it until Skeens gets here at least, you know. I mean,
yeah, he's still only one every 5 days. Right. But when he gets here, if Jones, my fear is they're going to limit his pitch count after a while.
Right.
Because he throws so hard. And he's another one that's going to hit the Tommy John any day because he throws 100.
Mm-hmm.
But then Keller is your third best pitcher if Jones keeps it up. And they bring up Skeens. Now you got a pitching staff.
Everybody in the NL Central is above 500 except for the Cardinals. The Cardinals are under 500.
Not by much. They're six and seven. Today, because they lost today.
Yeah, they lost today. But everybody else, Pirates at 9-3, Brewers 7-3, Cubs 7-4, and the Reds at 6-5. Yeah.
I mean,
it's a long season, man. It's a long season.
I think Milwaukee's going to outlast them.
Yeah. Which pisses me off because their fans.
They got rid of one of their best pitchers this offseason.
Yeah, their fans are their media is annoying. Like the Brewers media is just so annoying. I still say, I think the Brewers were doing some Houston Astros shit
banging on a lid,
doing something because some shit just didn't make any sense to me. Who was their really really good hitter that they had who looked like he was always wearing eyeliner? Trying to remember, he was an all-star for them for
not
a few years.
Yount.
No, not yet. No, more recent.
Yelich?
No, before Yelich.
Oh, eyeliner. I don't know.
He looked like he had shadows over his eyes.
I don't know.
But he could hit the shit out of the ball, but he was just annoying.
Yeah. So I don't think there's any other team in that division that's going to run away with it, including the Brewers.
Right. Right.
And if the Pirates get Skeens, and they got Jones, and they got Keller, mm-hmm. and Perez keeps mm-hmm. whatever he's doing with his magic that he keeps throwing up there that nobody seems to be able to do anything but ground a shortstop with.
Right.
I think they have a shot. Now, I still think Hayes needs to hit 15 to 20 homers for them to have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Cruz has to hit 20 or 20 home runs. He's got one.
Wait for the weather to get warmer.
And I think it will when the weather gets warmer. Right, it does. And I think it's just pitchers are ahead of the hitters right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a ton of injuries. So the fact that Pittsburgh has someone coming up is a good sign.
Yeah.
Because a lot of teams don't, and they're trying to piecemeal.
Right, right. And you gotta stay healthy, man. I think what hurt the Pirates last year so it was Cruz getting hurt. You know,
Cruz is better than what they had last year.
No.
He still can't hit lefties.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I don't care what.
But
you
I
say.
Was yeah, I was just know. Glad that he's even remotely close to the kind of speed that he could, you know,
speeds back
that he could run right. Right.
Yeah.
Especially after an injury like that.
And I still say the sound that the ball makes coming off his bat is not normal.
No.
He hit a one hopper to second base the other day, and it sounded like if you were a blind man, you'd think he hit it 500 feet.
Right, right.
It's different. This if you ever get a chance to watch this guy play, at 6'7",
mm-hmm.
The way he runs, the way he, the power in his pop in his bat, it's unbelievable.
Anybody else in baseball you want to talk about? Any surprises that you're seeing from any teams, players? Anybody you want to bring
up?
No,
I mean, I'm trying to think of any, like, rookies that are up or some pitchers that are doing. Dodgers are winning, as they should.
They're the only winning team in their division.
Yeah, another bad division. Arizona should be okay. Padres, I don't know who. I couldn't name you three Padres starters.
Right.
Ex-Pirate still pitching.
Miami Marlins at 1-11. That's a little bit of a surprise to me after what they did last year.
Well, again, Luzardo's their ace.
Right.
And he's not an ace either. He's a Keller guy.
Their run differential is 33 runs.
That's going to change. They're not hitting well. They're not hitting the ball right now either as a team. It just seems like They're kind of like the Phillies. When their big guns are in a funk, the whole team goes in a funk.
So the leading teams in baseball with run differential.
Got to be the Braves.
Number one. Actually, it's not the Braves.
Yankees.
No. Got to go American League.
That's why I thought it was the Yankees.
Got to stay in the American League. Guardianes. The Guardians.
Okay, that. You could have given me.
34. The run differential.
Yeah, and Bieber just is out and for the
he's
year
He's out
now.
For the year. Tommy John. Next is actually the Bravos at 26. And then after that are the Pittsburgh Pirates at 19, plus 19.
And part of that's they played Miami and Detroit.
Yeah, yeah.
They did play the O's, and they won the series. Yeah. So you got to give them credit.
Yeah, two out of three.
Including the four infield hits and the bad throw that won it in extras.
Do you think the Yankees can keep their pace going? Or are they going to? They're 10-2.
I'm going to tell you, no, they won't continue to be that good. But Soto makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
That guy is a professional hitter.
Right.
I mean, professional hitter. That guy walks more than he strikes out. He has a command of the strike zone that is unbelievable. He does not swing at bad pitches. He will not swing and miss at the same pitch twice.
Mm-hmm.
You can blow a fastball by him, but you throw that again, he's going to hit it about 400 feet in that short porch and right.
Right.
He also plays good defense. And Judge hasn't done anything yet. I have
right.
a fantasy. He has one home run, I think.
Right.
So the power numbers will come. Stanton has a couple homers. Volpe is playing incredible. Their second-year shortstop, he's only like 21 years old. He's off to a really good start. I'm not sure I'm sold on their starters either.
Right.
We'll see. The Dodgers look unbeatable.
Yeah.
You go around baseball, but, I mean, like you said, it's a long year.
Yeah, Volpe's hitting .375.
Done that, but he looks like Ozzie Smith at shortstop right now.
Yeah. And then, you know, Soto's at .348. What's Judge? Judge is .195.
With one homer.
Yeah.
And he's got Soto hitting in front of him, so
right.
I don't know what deal is there. He's not seeing it yet.
No, he's got two homers.
He's got two. Oh, good.
Yeah, he's got a pair.
That's good for my fantasy team.
He's got a pair.
Should have five right about
Stanton
now.
Has three. Volpe has two. And Soto and Judge each have two.
Yeah. Cortez is one of their pitchers. Has a porn 70s porn stash.
Nestor
Cortez. He's doing well, I guess. I don't know. Baseball doesn't count to me
right.
until the end of May.
Right.
Let's just see what happens.
Okay. We'll definitely be keeping an eye on things. But for Pirate fans, it's an exciting start to the season.
Hey, you're 9-3. Would you rather be 3-9?
But remember what they started out last year?
20-8.
Mm-hmm. And then, lost 30 straight?
Yeah, I don't know. They had a bad second half, but they have better pitching now than they did then.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there.
When you have Skeens or this Jones kid going every 5 days, it's hard
right.
to lose six in a row.
Right, exactly. So let's move on to hockey. Let's talk about the Penguins as they try to scratch and claw their way into the playoffs.
I'm the only one that doesn't want them to make the playoffs.
Because you're seeing another first-round exit.
Who gives a shit? They're not good enough to beat anybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, remember the hockey playoffs, when you get into the playoffs, you have to play the...
It's another level.
Your division. But you also play in your division, right?
Right.
So it's not one plays 15 or 16 and then two plays that and then four and five. The first round is always against your division, which
right.
I think is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Put them in order, 1 through 16, whatever.
Right, right.
Seed them based on... you know, record.
Right.
But here's the thing. The only glimmer of hope I can tell you is the other day they lost in overtime to Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Toronto beat them?
Yeah, they lost 2-1 in overtime.
And they were 0-5 on the power play again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So here's the good news. They suck on the power play, but they don't call penalties in the playoffs.
Right.
The only other problem is they suck on 3-on-3.
Mm-hmm. But you're not doing that in the playoffs.
And you don't do that in the playoffs. So if they can squeak in, and I think this game against Detroit tomorrow night is huge. It's do or die, right, if you ask me.
Yeah, because right now they're tied with the Red Wings for third in the wild card. And they take the top two for a wild card.
And Capitals just beat.
And the Capitals just beat the Red Wings. So it's kind of like, okay, who do you want to pick? Who are you rooting for? And a lot of people say, well, the Capitals, because if the Red Wings had won, they would be 2 points clear of the Penguins. Where now the Capitals are only 1 point clear.
And yeah, but I think they have a better shot of finishing third in the division than they do getting a wild card.
You mean the Capitals or
Pittsburgh?
Yeah,
think they got to beat Washington.
Yeah, but the other night they needed the Rangers to step up and beat the Islanders, and they didn't. So they really needed that to try to get third in the Metropolitan.
Well, I still think they need help. There's no
they
doubt.
They do need help.
There's only
yeah.
four left, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
And they got Detroit. The other thing, too, is I don't know how you can go into the playoffs if you're a fan, expect a first-round win, and then get your mediocre draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
And then be good next year. They're still old.
Yeah.
I want them to miss the playoffs. Is it true that every team that misses the playoffs goes in the lottery?
Yes.
Okay. How did they get good? How did the
Penguins?
Through
the lottery. They
sucked
hit on
for
Crosby.
6 years in a row.
They
weren't
hit
they the
on
worst
Malkin.
Team in hockey
they
for five or 6 years in a row?
They were terrible.
They got Crosby. They got Malkin.
Right.
Right? Because they hit on these people.
You get
because
Letang.
They suck.
Right.
I don't want them to make the playoffs. I'm the only one in Pittsburgh.
It's like the Steelers making the playoffs and getting a middling draft pick.
10-9.
We had a losing season. Winning record under Tomlin. Yeah. I get what you're saying.
I don't think they're going anywhere in the playoffs. I don't care if their power play still blows. They still don't have a defenseman that plays defense. That's my big thing. When they were going to sign Carlson, guess what? Isn't Letang an offensive defenseman?
Yeah, and so is Carlson.
So you sign two defensemen who are both really good on their own, but they both like to rush and play offense.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what that leads to?
Odd man rushes.
Shorthanded goals, and they've been giving that shit up all year.
So the last four games the Penguins have. So tomorrow night against Detroit at home.
Must win.
Then home against Boston.
Okay. Let's pray
home,
overtime. Get a
home
point.
Against Nashville.
Hmm.
And then at the Islanders is the finale.
All right. So I think the last game of the year at the Islanders is going to determine if they win, they're going to go to the playoffs.
Okay.
I think they shouldn't.
Yeah. They should just tank.
And you know, their backup goalie has played in how many? 13 straight?
Yeah, he's taking over for Jari.
I don't care about Jari. I don't think he's that great.
Yeah.
But I just don't think I want him to be in the lottery.
Yeah.
I know they weight that shit like everybody else does. Like the worst team in the league is more weighted towards getting the higher pick, but I'm going to tell you right now, hockey's one of those sports where every year there seems to be a McDavid or someone coming out that the best team gets that is worth it.
Mm-hmm.
But then who else? There's not like five players in hockey coming out of college that are game changers.
Right.
Or international or Russia, whatever you want to do. So get in the lottery, get a win. They shocked the world when they got the first pick and got Crosby.
Right.
They weren't supposed to be the first pick. They defied the odds.
Right.
I don't want them to make the playoffs. I'm the only one in Pittsburgh, so eat me, Pittsburgh. You can say whatever the hell you want. Go ahead and watch your team go down in flames in the first round against the Rangers or whoever the hell else you want them to lose to.
Right.
But I'm telling you right now, the correct move is do not make the playoffs.
Okay.
You sucked all year. Why go for it now?
Is there anything much better than the Stanley Cup playoffs?
There's nothing better than hockey playoffs.
Hockey,
period.
Yeah. I mean, it's
nothing. I don't care if you're watching two teams you haven't played all year, but it gets down to they're tied going into overtime because they just start shooting shit from everywhere, and they're bullets.
Well, and two, one of the – they were – you know, you see clips on Twitter and shit like that about, you know, going back in time and remember this game. I'll never forget that goal that Chris Kunitz scored in Game 7 of the conference finals against Ottawa. And remember, Eric Karlsson was playing for Ottawa at that time.
I don't remember that. I don't know if I followed him as much back then.
Well, it was one of the – of course, Crosby saved the puck. I believe, if I'm getting this correct, saved the puck from being captured by the Senators and moved out of the zone. And he got the puck back to Kunitz near the point, and he just
– buried it.
He just hit a slap shot, but it was kind of a knuckler. And it Anderson was the goalie, and it kind of just threw it like he just couldn't react.
Anybody that threw a frisbee in the wind knows what that is.
Yeah,
try to catch it.
Exactly.
It's not easy.
And it just went over his shoulder, and just that unbelievable reaction. And then when Bonino beat the Capitals in overtime, you know, that was a Game 7.
I'm going to tell you right now, to this day,
or Game 6,
to this day, I hate Bonino for icing the puck.
Yeah.
Three straight possessions when they were up by one goal with under a minute to play. Yeah. And instead of him just keeping the possession of the puck, he just got rid of it.
Yeah.
And all the faceoffs come right back in front of the Pittsburgh zone.
And you can't change lines.
You can't change lines. Exhausted. And he did it in three straight faceoffs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was so mad. There's not a guy in that ugly beard of his. Oh, my God. I wanted to drive down there and get an ass whooping.
He's got his rings.
He does.
His rings.
I was going to say I wanted to drive down there and punch him, but he'd have given me an ass
whooping.
He'd
have given
you
an ass whooping. And he wasn't a fighter in the league. Although, you know, it's kind of that kid.
From the Rangers?
That kid from the Rangers.
Yeah, the new kid.
All he does is fight.
He has more penalty minutes than minutes played.
Well, he's just like, he's back to, we have a goon. You know, we have a goon.
And that's like, okay. I mean, hockey's not like that anymore.
No, it's not.
They don't do that. They did have a line drop the other day.
Well,
two teams just threw
The Rangers and the Devils.
Yeah, they just dropped them, and all five guys went at it.
Yeah,
and he was part of it.
And they got kicked out of the game, and then they had to play with a minimum number of guys.
And not only that, but the guy that got kicked out of the game, that rookie, he doesn't play anyway.
He doesn't play. So yeah, it's like, so we win. That was the part of goonery.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, you'd go up and you'd start a fight with maybe their second best goal scorer. And you get him out of the game for at least 5 minutes, you know.
Like, you got a thug.
Yeah.
And here's the best part about that.
It's like the Hanson brothers.
Yeah.
You know?
They look. Both coaches said, "Yeah, I was surprised. I didn't know. Really? Why did you start your fourth line and two goons?
Exactly.
If you didn't know they were going to drop their gloves.
I'm surprised that was going to happen.
Both of them said, I had no idea.
I didn't expect that out of my guys.
None of them started their top line to start the game.
If anybody wants to see, first of all, I think one of the most entertaining sets of video clips on YouTube
are the hockey fights.
Well, hockey players and referees mic'd up. It's just the shit they say to each other is hysterical. There's a show on Hulu called Shorzy.
Okay. Oh, yeah, it's funny.
It's hilarious. I mean,
Canadian dudes.
Well, yeah, but the predecessor,
one of them's a ref.
The predecessor to that was Letterkenny.
Yeah.
Which was one of my favorites. Like and Letterkenny.
Also hilarious.
Hilarious show. But they had a character in Letterkenny. It was Shorzy. You never saw his face. Okay. But you heard him talk and you heard him chirp. And so they decided to make this series called Shorzy. And it's fun. Like, it took a while to get going, I thought, in the first season, but it really got its legs, and now it's really, really
There's
fun.
A Facebook page for that, and they show clips, and it is hilarious.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but listening to the real thing is damn near as funny.
Well, and there's also in that, there's players mic'd up talking to each other, get caught.
Oh, yeah.
Like the one guy will say, I'll see you in the minor. I'll see you in the minors. No. He says, I'll see you next week. And the guy says, no, you won't. You'll be in the minors again.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, and then when they're, you know, they're lined up for a face-off. Two guys are off the circle, and they're looking at each other. It's like, you want to go? Want to give it?
It happens on every face-off.
Yeah, and they drop the sticks. They drop their gloves. And then a lot of times after they're done fighting, they're like, And that was a good guy. That was a good go, man. That was good. Fight. That was good. Good fight. They just had to get it out of their system.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I think it should go in all sports. you throw it a batter in baseball and he charges a mound. You let him go until they're down the ground.
Yeah,
and you jump on him.
Catcher can't.
Well, go ahead.
There was a minor league thing where a pitcher threw at a hitter. The hitter turned and gave a back kick to the catcher, so the catcher couldn't tackle him. And then he went and charged the pitcher. That was pretty smart.
Let him go. Until they hit the ground, let them beat the shit out of each other.
Well, Nolan Ryan got the best of Ventura.
Put him in a headlock, a Texas headlock.
Just started pounding on him.
But here's what, and the problem with that is, again, you talk about these people not knowing baseball. Who in the hell charges a mound to get hit with an 0-2 curveball?
Yeah, I know.
And the guy gets pissed and charges the mound.
I was at Jacobs Field, the former Jacobs Field.
The mistake by the lake?
Yeah, but and it was
Cleveland.
Cleveland against Seattle, and Randy Johnson was still pitching for the Mariners. Kenny Lofton was up at bat, and
lefty.
Yeah, he
lefty on lefty.
He buzzed the tower. Okay, but it wasn't a fastball.
It was a slider.
And, you know, look, I think Randy Johnson, if he was throwing at you.
Wasn't he like 6'10" or something like that?
Did you remember that video of him, like, turning the seagull?
Killing the ball.
Killing the seagull. And all there was, like, this explosion of feathers.
All you saw was feathers. There wasn't even blood around. It destroyed it.
No. But he threw at Lofton. Well, I mean, the ball got almost hit Lofton. Lofton got pissed. And it was only, like, Johnson was yelling at him. He's saying, it was a curveball.
Right.
He goes, it was a curveball.
Yeah.
It got away from him.
Not to mention, what was Lofton going to do?
Yeah, what's Lofton
going to say? $1.60.
He came up to his navel.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what I'm saying. Just like hockey. You want to cock off? Come get
it.
Yeah,
like he's like, hey, Randy, he's not charging you. It's not happening. If he's smart, he's not charging you.
The best one I saw, there was a highlight of a minor league fight where the batter took the bat with him.
Oh, yeah.
And he just, the pitcher saw him coming with a baseball bat, and he starts running.
Yeah, oh, yeah. What are you going
to
do?
And this batter is swinging the bat and trying to hit him with a bat, and all these guys are, he's doing figure eight to the outfield. He's scared to shitless. Yeah. He took the bat with him.
Oh, my God. That's funny. Could you imagine that? It's like, okay, the pitcher and the hitter get to square off, and they get some shots in before anybody can jump
in. Well, probably one of the best punches was Batista.
Oh, yeah.
When he slid into second base.
Yep.
Who was that guy? He's not even, I don't even know if he's on a major league roster anymore. Oh, God, I got it on the tip of my tongue. You guys already know it, and I'm trying to think of it. But he turned around, and Batista cocked off, and he just punched him right in the face.
Yeah. Let me see.
That was awesome.
Odor,
that's right. He's not even in the majors. I don't. He might have just got called back up. I don't know.
Right. Oh yeah, but, that was.
I mean, Batista cocked off, and the first thing he did was punch him in the face.
Punched him right in the face. Yeah, and it was a good shot.
Oh, and then recently there was a fight where Ramirez of the Guardians, someone said something about him in second base, and they wanted to go, and he hit the guy, and the guy went down. Like, he hit him with his fist, and the guy went right down like a boxing match.
So, hey, wait a minute. Interesting topic. Okay, so.
What's that, farting in the infield? Or?
You are a manager, okay, a major league manager. Where's crossing the line as far as, like, okay, next time you're up to bat, you're going to get one in the ear. Like they talk about showing up the pitcher, bat flips, shit like that. Now, to me, I think if you saunter around the bases and make it real slow and draw
out.
Yeah,
see, I'm not that. If you want to stop that, get him out. You know, I don't care about that. But the guy that runs around the bases and is cocking off the whole time.
Yeah, then that's, you're going
to
get one.
I wouldn't even let him get to home plate. I would
I've seen that happen.
Third baseman, shortstop, or catcher should just punch him in the face as he's coming down the line.
Yeah.
Take one for the team. If you're going to hit a home run, run the bases.
Yeah.
You earned it.
Yeah,
especially in the majors, you can't hit home runs in the majors. I mean, those pitchers are unbelievable.
Right.
But if he's going to cock off, all the way around. I don't care if he walks around the bases.
What about the pitchers aren't batting anymore?
Yeah, that helps.
I mean, pitchers can now show up a hitter as much as they want. Although one of the best of all time was, for the Pirates.
Well, you can. I mean, I can swing at a ball and let go of the bat.
Oh, you could. Sure, you could. I'm sure you could. I forget the guy for the Pirates. They called him Batman. He had the tattoos back when they were went to the playoffs for three straight years.
Yeah, around 2000.
Yeah.
16.
God, that's just terrible.
I won't remember that.
But
yeah, I don't think there's – I don't really think these unwritten rules in baseball grow up. Christ, it's 2024.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You can't steal if you're down – if you're up by eight runs and there's only past the seventh inning. I get an idea. How about this? How about you get a catcher that can throw a guy out?
Burnett.
A.J.
A.J. Burnett. So there was someone from the Dodgers, and – he kept on, like, he struck him out. He kept on staring at him on the way off. They had to, like, the stare off of A.J. Burnett's like, sit the F down. Just go sit the F down.
Yeah, right there.
Yeah.
So I played fast pitch softball well into my 30s, 35. Yeah. And we were at a tournament in York, PA. Okay. Stayed at a hotel for all you Yorkies called Fat Daddy's.
Nice.
And I won't even tell you the story about after the game.
Nice.
But we're up 10 to 2. And they decide to get, they're going to clear the benches. And they bring this guy in, old guy with jeans. He's in blue jeans and like, a T-shirt. And he hits one to left center field. And the left fielder is telling the center fielder, plenty of room, get to the fence, plenty of room. And it went out. The guy hit a home run.
Yeah, okay.
Now it's 11-2 in the last inning with two outs.
Okay. Right?
This guy got the hit because he was such a freaking idiot. They let the guy in jeans hit that was helping him all year.
Right.
I'm playing, let's see, at that time I was probably playing shortstop or second base.
Uh-huh.
And this guy, when it went out, stopped jogging and started kind of walking, jog, fast running. And he said, plenty of room, plenty of room, plenty of room. And I hold off and hit him right in the mouth at second base. I said, unless that home run is worth 10, you better quit cocking off and showing up my pitcher. And I punched him right in the mouth. Bad part. I was ejected.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Deservedly so.
Yep.
Sure.
We only had 11 guys. So we're up 11-2 because we had to forfeit.
Oh, my God.
However,
yeah.
At the last minute, the pitcher's kid, who was 16 years old, came to the field.
Nice.
And they put him in at first. They put him in at first base.
Yeah, and somebody else went to shortstop.
Short or second. Yeah. I don't know which one.
Yeah.
I was standing at second. I don't know if I played second or short.
Yeah.
But I punched him right in the mouth.
You ended up winning the game.
Like, yeah. And it was for a trip to States.
Okay.
Which was held somewhere down there, too.
Yep.
But it was.
Oh, my God.
Said, unless that's worth 11, you better quit showing up my pitcher. And he gave me the FU thing, and I hit him right in the mouth. And we almost lost the game. That's
the only time I ever got close, like when I was in Little League, believe me, I got beaned plenty of times. The first time I was ever up at bat, I got hit in the helmet. My cousin was pitching one time on another team, and he drilled me.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, shit gets away from you.
Yeah. So I know he drilled me on purpose. But I was actually, when Audie and I lived in South Texas for a year, I played slow pitch softball down there. And there was this team, it was like a church league, you know,
You're not going to States.
No, and I was playing for a church that I didn't even go to. They just asked me to come and play
because
I played third base, you know. And
We need
you
guys.
Know, no, we need guys. So we were playing against this team that to them, every game was World Series Game 7. My God.
To them.
Yeah. You know, and I don't know what church they went to. I don't know if they were Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian.
They swore,
I have
like
no
a
idea. But this was
sailor on leave.
And they had this one guy that he was probably 6-for-6 in the game. Okay. But every time he'd get a hit, he'd be running down to first going, like every time.
Yeah, making fun of.
Like just trying. So finally, like he went up to bat, he got a hit, and our first baseman tripped him as he rounded first, like on purpose.
Laughing.
And then
yeah.
it was on.
Yeah.
So here's these two church league teams Bench
rolling
is clear.
Around, rolling around the
bench
infield.
Is clear. But you know what? The umpire kicked the batter out of the game. He goes, you know what? He goes, I know what you've been up to. He goes, I've had enough of you.
Yeah.
He's like, goodbye. And you know what the guy did? He laughed on the way off to his car. And I was like, I told my team, I was like, guys, this person has a mental problem. Yeah. I mean, living in Texas can give you a mental problem.
Yeah, really.
But that's the only time I ever got into a Donnybrook.
So our fast pitch team made it to Nationals.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was held in the campus of Texas A&M University.
Ooh, College Station.
College Station, Texas. So nice. We're out at a bar drinking, right? Because that's what you do before your first game.
That's exactly what you should do.
The night before your first game,
the night before,
right?
Your first game, exactly.
And we go, and we're hanging out. Out of nowhere, some guy, disgruntled patron who got thrown out of the bar, drove his pickup truck through the plate glass windows of the bar. And we didn't know it. We were so drunk, we didn't know it, because our backup, our sponsor who owned a bar in Jersey Shore, PA, Sammy, was the backup first baseman.
Yeah.
And he went with us, and he decided to ride a bull, and a guy threw him off a mechanical bull about 35 feet over the walls and the mats, and he landed in somewhere in the bar. So we were laughing so hard at that. We and Joe so drunk the night before we played, we didn't hear a pickup truck come through the window, glass doors of the bar. Nice. Yeah.
Hey, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about the just completed NCAA basketball championship. Probably one of the most unexciting.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't a lot of sin, other than NC State.
Yeah, NC State was a good story.
That was fun.
Talking and giving shit back to the Joe Lenardis of the world, who wanted to only put the ACC tournament champion in the tournament.
Well, he has something against Pitt.
He does. No, he has something against Pitt, because I will say this right now.
Period.
That asshole, like, when people...
Are you nominating him for Eat a Dick?
I am nominating him for Eat a Dick.
Okay, he's an Eat a Dick award.
So... You know, there's Pitt people going back and forth after they got snubbed. And I am saying they got snubbed.
They did get snubbed.
And they're going back and forth. And Lenardi decides to it was before the selection show.
Right.
Lenardi decides to inject himself and like, poke fun at Pitt. Like, uninvited. Nobody was saying anything
before
people went after him.
That's
and
right.
Then, and
That's
then
absolutely
he gets,
true.
He gets all butthurt because people go after him. And people are tagging ESPN saying, this is one of your professional on-air staff.
Well, not to mention the longest on-air tournament gurus who is wrong every
he's
year.
He's 98th in the country.
Yeah, 98th in prediction.
98th. Right. Okay. But him and most of the other ones were right. They were going to screw Pitt. And Pitt got screwed. I believe Seton Hall got screwed
in
the Big East.
If you're putting Virginia in, you have to put Pitt in.
Right.
So why Lenardi would say Virginia's got to be in when they average about 18 points a game.
And
they have no offense
and
whatsoever.
Pitt boat race them in Charlottesville.
They kicked the shit out of them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just pathetic. But
UConn's a dynasty, and I know Bobby Hurley's brother played, and he played in college.
Well, Danny Hurley.
And Hurley played at Duke.
Yeah, Bobby Hurley played at Duke.
Their dad is the most successful high school coach in
New Jersey
history.
Right.
Plenty of colleges asked him to come, and he wouldn't do it. He wanted to stay in the high school level.
Right.
I get all that, but there's something in the water if that guy can get these guys to go to UConn over Kentucky, North Carolina.
I think what scalds the ass of Pitt fans is because we interviewed him before we hired Capel. And we offered him the job, and he turned it down.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're sitting there, and you're looking at him like two straight NCAA titles. Like, what could he have brought here?
Oh, not only that, but the first title, those guys are gone.
Yeah.
Like, this was a whole new team.
It's going to be a new team.
Yeah.
Like, next year, is he going to do it again? You know.
Well, I mean, he's going to have players. Now, one of the things you can say is he recruits people that fits his system.
Mm-hmm.
But every coach tries to recruit people that fit their system. And if you've been to UConn, the campus, in the winter or whatever, it's
miserable.
You don't go there as opposed to,
Florida.
Kentucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, Miami.
Yeah.
Any of the Purdue.
That kind of shit seems to be more attractive to the on the football side.
You know, I don't know, but the kids that he played, okay, let's say they weren't all five-star recruits.
Yeah.
Did you the way that they played and ran pick and rolls?
Disciplined.
He passed the ball to the guy that was rolling without looking.
Right.
Because that guy's supposed to be there.
Right.
And if he's not, it's not your fault for a bad pass. Hurley will take the guy out that didn't roll to the correct spot.
Well, I was telling you on the phone that if you could have bet it, it would have been a great bet at the beginning of the season that UConn's going to win the NCAA tournament and they're going to win every game by double digits.
Yeah, it's not a bet.
But, I mean, I bet UConn almost every game of that tournament against the spread, and I won.
Yeah.
Every time.
And I bet them for the poll, and they won.
Yeah, yeah. Did you win anything on your poll?
You know what? I haven't heard the finals yet because it was me and two other guys that both took UConn. He's supposed to let me know if I won the poll or not.
All right, good.
Depends on how the earlier rounds went.
Yeah.
But I should. I mean, I had five of the final eight. So I don't know if anyone else could beat that.
I know that some good news for the Panthers today. One of their players, they were wondering if he was going to stay, Ishmael Leggett. He is going to stay. He announced he's staying for another year.
That's good, but they already did lose one guy.
They lost Bub Carrington.
Which,
you know, on one hand, that hurts. But on the other hand, it's like, you know, you want to kind of get a reputation in basketball.
For
like you
having
got
pros.
Good kids are going to be pros. I think Carrington's
going to
be.
I think he needed one more year.
Yeah, but he's still probably going to be a first-round pick because he has a high ceiling. I think he has a really, really high ceiling.
I think he's going to be a first-round pick. I don't think he's going to stick on a roster. I think he's going to go to the G League.
Okay.
And, I mean, what the hell? You got NIL or the G League? Both leagues you're getting paid, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know the difference between an NIL contract and what they pay you in the G League. I guess in the G League you're supposedly better competition. You get better quicker.
Yeah, you get better quicker.
But – I would have stayed one more year, but that's easy for me to say. What if his whole family?
His whole family, they might need it. And
what
you know
if they
what?
Need money?
NIL's not a guaranteed thing.
Right? And you what know, if the family needs financial?
And look, it's Pitt. How much NIL money are they going to have?
That's a good point.
But you know what? But he also
more
had
than Penn State.
He also had the loyalty to say, you know what? Yeah, maybe I could have gone to Duke and gotten a bunch of NIL money or Kentucky or something like that. But you know what? I'm not going to go to another college team. I'm going to go.
Well,
I'm
and that's
drafted.
A credit to Capel, too.
Yeah.
I mean, Capel wanted him when he was like in ninth grade.
Oh, I know.
Right?
Yeah.
Like he went after him hard.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up signing with Capel because of that.
Right.
Capel didn't
part.
Go to even scout him that day when they found him.
Right.
He was scouting some other kid.
And he saw him. Yeah.
And he said, listen, I'm going to offer you right now. The kid was like in 10th grade.
Right.
So the fact that. You got to give him credit for that.
Right, right.
But, yeah, I think Pitt is back as a top 25 team for the next few years. I want to see the transfer portal changed everything.
Well, and you got these idiots that are doing like
these guys could be good one year and shitty the next day they lose everybody.
And they're doing these idiots are out here already doing like a way too early top 25 for next year
for the portal.
Yeah, and there's before the portal and there's nobody there. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is entered the transfer portal from Indiana State.
The whole team from Indiana State entered the transfer portal.
Well, because they were actually pretty damn good.
They should have made the tournament.
They should have made the tournament.
I totally agree. But I think four of their starters entered the transfer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's college basketball now. It's college football now.
They're not entering the portal because they don't like Indiana State. Somebody gave them more money.
Right.
They went to their coach and said, okay, listen, Kentucky just offered me a mill. Can you beat it? And they said, I'll give you $50,000.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do? I can't. Indiana State can't compete with
them. No, they can't compete.
And how about Calipari switching to
Arkansas?
Yeah,
I was just about to say that. Going to the Hogs. Now, I'm a big Hogs fan. So,
well,
I mean,
I'm just
going to
tell you, I think sanctions are coming down.
On Kentucky.
Very soon.
Yeah.
That's why he bolted.
Yeah. It's very, very possible.
He's doing the Pete Carroll. What's the Kentucky guy? Guy that had a brothel on campus. Rick Pitino.
Oh, Pitino.
Yeah, he didn't know that his campus, his coaches and assistants had a brothel on campus so recruits can get laid. Well, he didn't know he knew nothing about it.
Wasn't he? Didn't he get busted
for being in a booth?
In a booth at an Italian restaurant, laying the wood to somebody.
Yeah, or at least getting a handy in the behind the dumpster.
Hardy, do you think he's gonna? Do you think he's positioned to bring St. John's back to prominence?
I don't think he's gonna be. I think he's up for the Kentucky job.
Oh my God!
Now, if you want to, I think he knows basketball. There's no doubt.
Oh, he does.
He's cheated everywhere he's ever been. So has Calipari. You can't tell me that Calipari won a run ever since he was at UMass. The guy's been cheating his ass off.
That's always been a question.
Urban Meyer, same thing.
That's always been a question.
Cheat, succeed, get paid.
You know, Pitt's been like, I remember.
Well, obviously, Narduzzi doesn't cheat.
No, obviously. He likes to kick field goals.
Well, not only that, but they'd be better.
He could
recruit a quarterback.
I had a debate in a comments section of a Post-Gazette article with Bob Smizek back when Bob was still a full-time opinion writer for the Post-Gazette.
It was 8 years ago?
Well, it was back during the Dixon days.
Oh, okay, Pitt. Before he left Pitt.
Yeah, and Pitt had an early exit in the tournament. It was like a second-round exit, I think, and it was like a lot. You know, he had made some kind of comment about it. But it was, his take was, look, Pitt fan, if Pitt makes the tournament and makes an occasional Sweet 16, be happy with that because that's as good as you're going to get, ever. And my comment was, you play to win the game. You play to win a championship. Okay, Pitt has won a Big East title and a Big East tournament. Well, multiple Big East regular season titles.
Yeah.
Multiple Big East one Big East tournament title. Had been to several finals. Okay, one team was within a gnat's eyelash of a Villanova layup making it to the Final Four. Okay. My argument was, what do you mean be satisfied? You're in a major conference. You're in the Big East, and then you're in
the
ACC.
Well, back then, the Big East was the shit, too.
I understand, but to me, it's like, no, you're not satisfied with that. You're playing with these teams, against these teams regularly during the regular season that have made national championships.
And they've beaten them.
And they've beaten them.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Like, what do you mean?
Well,
by
and
that?
Jamie Dixon's teams were good.
Oh, they were.
Now
really
they
good.
Focused on defense.
Yeah,
but remember, DeJuan Blair.
You and I went to that game where DeJuan Blair just blew up Syracuse,
and we couldn't believe how short he was.
No,
like he was the center.
Yeah, but
right?
He just was. He was amazing. Inside.
He was like 6 foot six, maybe 6'7". I don't know what you can look up DeJuan Blair if their producer has time instead of stuffing her face the food over there. But he was not a center. He wasn't big. Because we looked at him and go, well, man, that Syracuse is big on that back line because Boeheim played that damn zone.
Right.
And we're like, dude, yeah, what's he going to do against these three guys that are all 6'10", 6'11"? Well, tell you what he did. He ate it. He ate them up. He might have been 6'10", 6'9".
6 foot seven.
There you go.
He was 6'7".
I told you. Yeah. I mean, it was crazy how we sat there and looked at each other and went, look how short he looks.
That's why he struggled in the league because he really didn't have a. He wasn't
a
true center. He should have been a four.
But he didn't have a jumper.
No,
like them.
No.
But he destroyed those big men from Syracuse.
We just
kept looking at each other, going, "What the hell?"
I remember that game.
Nobody can guard this guy. He gets every rebound over these 6'10" guys
at UConn that night. He owned Hakeem Thabeet. Just owned him, and Thabeet was over 7 foot tall.
Yeah, I called that. Failure in the NBA.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, but Thabeet was a really impactful player for UConn.
He was a good college
player. And but the thing was, Blair went in there and just muscled him. Like he couldn't get off the block.
Well,
like
and I'm going to tell you something right now, the thing that Blair did that nobody does anymore. Nobody boxes out.
No.
And if you NBA guys, you're all going to be up for Eat a Dick Award if you disagree with me on this one. I don't care if you're Joel Embiid, if you are some other 7'10" guy. The NBA has a rule against boxing out because nobody will put a body on somebody.
I think the last team that boxed out was the Detroit Pistons.
I don't even know if they did that.
The Bill Laimbeer and Isaiah Thomas days.
I think Laimbeer would just physically just beat the shit out of you with his big ass. Rick Mahorn.
That was the
remember
only
his big ass? He'd get that. He'd squat.
Well,
you couldn't get around him.
Well, Dennis Rodman.
Well, Rodman was the best rebounder.
Best rebounder in history. Yeah.
For his size.
One of the most interesting interviews I ever heard, like they were interviewing Bobby Knight way back in the day. And the topic of Dennis Rodman came up, like who he would like to have played for his team. And he brought up Dennis Rodman. And the interviewer was like, what? And he goes, hey, he goes, hear me out. He goes, the first thing I would want to ask Rodman is this. What's real and what's bullshit? He said, what I see on the court,
that's real.
That's real.
Yeah.
He goes, that's what I want. I want a guy who goes after the basketball like he hates it. Well, you know,
like his life depends on it.
Right, exactly.
Every possession is the most important possession. Could exactly. be the first one of the game.
Right.
But he's diving into the crowd. He's
kicking cameramen in the nuts.
And he got every rebound.
Yeah, he did.
Now, some people say it's rebound is just timing and stuff.
No,
that guy knew. It's knowing where the ball's going.
The ball was in the air, and he knew where to be.
He did.
He knew exactly where to be.
Crazy how that guy.
Because you would even see, like, you'd watch track his eyes, and he knew a ball was going in the hoop. He just started running down. He just started running down the other way.
Now there is statistics if you've ever played and been coached. If you shoot from the corner, it's either going to hit the rim short and come towards you,
mm-hmm.
or go opposite.
Opposite way, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you're gonna be short or long.
Not either many way. From the corner that go out to the top of the key.
Right.
I mean, there's stuff like that you got to know, but right. He knew everything.
Oh, yeah. He was an expert.
And he was so expert. Quick off his feet.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Never saw a guy jump and the ball was tipped between two guys, and he would jump again before the guy even came down.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
They weren't expecting him to score. They didn't need him to score.
They didn't want him to score.
They just want him to play defense and rebound.
Keep the ball away from that blue-headed freak.
Well, one of the only times I ever saw Larry Bird get really mad was against the Pistons. I remember he threw the basketball at Bill Laimbeer in a game in Detroit. I think it was a playoff game. He just whipped the ball at Laimbeer, and then it was on. You know,
you didn't want to mess with the boys back then.
No,
Laimbeer, Rick Mahorn.
No, they were just brutal.
Vinny, the microwave.
Yeah, Aguirre. You know, all of them.
Christ, it was.
What they were a great. Great basketball.
Not only
team.
That, but they would beat the shit.
Well, they were intimidating. They're really intimidating. And some of those games, some
as
of those.
As soon as they'd start beating the shit out of you, you'd get all tough, and then they'd hit four threes in a row, right?
Yeah, well, and those finals against the Lakers, you know, I mean, those were just classic. Classic.
Yeah, and Golden State had a bit of a dynasty with their 3-point shooting.
Yeah.
But when you look at those old Lakers team and you can just name their starters with Magic and Kareem and Worthy.
Showtime.
I mean.
And watching them play basketball,
Rambis.
It was almost an art form watching them play basketball.
It's just good.
And you're probably never going to see a point guard like Magic Johnson. I don't know if you're ever going to see it.
No. Ever. Ben Simmons was the closest they thought you were going to get.
Yeah.
I can't dribble.
He can't dribble.
But
no.
Or shoot jump shot.
Or. Rebound.
But those games, if you guys, you younger guys, it's amazing that you watch those games with Cooper for the Lakers and the fast breaks they
were. James Worthy.
Short shorts and Worthy.
Yeah.
It was just Kurt Rambis was the ugliest dude on the planet with his goggles, and they all had a role.
Yeah.
Like, none of them wanted, Kurt Rambis didn't give a shit if he scored 10 points or none.
Right, exactly.
He just set picks, got rebounds, and started to break. That's why, and that's how you become a basketball fan.
Right.
NBA is damn near unwatchable. If you like college basketball, I will tell you, you don't watch much NBA.
Right.
I watched a game the other day where a guy quit dribbling at half court.
Just stop.
Stole the ball at half court. Picked it up, took just, five just, steps, and dunked it.
Dunked it.
And they said, good. It was good. I'm not kidding. Sadly, I'm not kidding.
That's ridiculous. Hey, we are well over an hour.
All right, we're done.
Yeah, anything else we want to touch
well,
on?
Well, let me just think about that. We need to go over any updates on the Steelers draft, anything you've seen, anything you've heard.
You
There's
know
been
what?
A lot of weird shit going
well,
on
let
with
me
their
just,
first
let,
round pick.
Well, let me just put it to you this way. So with all due respect to Mel Kiper.
Another guy that I don't know how he has a job. He hasn't been right in 10 years.
Well, he actually has the Steelers taking Graham Barton out of Duke.
As
their
first
pick. He
could be a center or a guard.
He's got position flexibility.
There's no reason to take Barton if Powers Johnson is still there.
Yeah, and that's what you said last week.
That's, I'm telling you right now, Powers Johnson's the best lineman in the entire draft. And if Pittsburgh, who has no center at the moment, passes on Powers Johnson, I think everything you hear now is a smokescreen. They're all lying at this point. We're 2 weeks away from the draft.
Well, there was also an
matter
article.
Matter of fact, I'm going to buy, I will bet you a bottle of your favorite bourbon.
Of Buffalo Trace?
Buffalo Trace bourbon.
All right.
That if that Powers Johnson is there when Pittsburgh picks, they take him. And if they take anybody in the whole entire draft other than him, I will buy you a bottle of Buffalo Trace.
I'll take that. I'll take that bet.
They're not taking a lineman ahead of them. They're not taking a receiver ahead of them.
If he's available.
If he's on the board when they pick. Now, if they trade, but now here's the thing.
So you got to put a caveat in. If they trade down.
Well, someone will take him before him. Sure. Dallas will take him at 24 if they don't take him
at 20. They don't take him at 20.
Right.
Are you sure?
That's my point.
Are you sure Dallas is that smart?
No. But they also won't let me in their war room where I should be.
Oh, it's only Jerry Jones and a couple of daughters
his son who admit, he anointed.
He doesn't admit that are his daughters.
All right, so we have an Eat a Dick nomination of Joe Lunardi.
Joe Lunardi.
Right?
Yes. Well, wait a minute. Before we do the Eat a Dick, let's talk about, finish up the Steelers.
Oh, yeah.
Thing. So,
go ahead.
Barton, here's the bet. If the Steelers pick at 20 and don't move
I don't care where they pick. If Powers is on the board.
Is on the board. They're going to take him. That's your. I'm just going to say, for the chance of getting a bottle of bourbon.
Yep.
That if they take anybody else,
in the whole draft, I owe you a bottle.
Then
Buffalo
you owe
Trace.
Me a bottle of Buffalo Trace.
Yep.
Because the thing is, it's just.
The only concern might be the medical for that Powers Johnson.
Well, Barton.
That we don't know yet.
Well, Powers Johnson's coming in for a visit.
He's been to every team that needs a center.
Yeah, so he's coming to the Steelers.
He went to Dallas already, too.
So if the Steelers, wherever they pick, he's not there at one.
It's a wash.
Where do you go?
I think at that point, they either go best defensive tackle or best lineman.
But then in the second round,
they hope to get Zach Frazier.
Zach Frazier from West Virginia.
Or Van Zant from Georgia.
From Georgia.
They're going to get their center in the second round. But here's the thing. Dallas has the same plan.
So Johnson's not there. Mims from Georgia is there.
Take him.
They take Mims.
Yep.
All right. Now he's a true.
There's no center other than.
Is he a true right tackle? Like
Mims?
Mims.
I think he's going to play right tackle in the NFL.
I agree, because I think the Steelers need to move Broderick Jones back to left tackle.
That's what I think.
Because Dan Moore Jr. just sucks.
Well, whether he's good or not, he's on the team. So
yeah.
I think in training camp, you're going to see that they're going to move Broderick Jones to left, and they would play Mims at right.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be – well, look, this is what makes the draft so fun.
And you and I just text each other
– well, hopefully we're broadcasting live that night.
That's
my goal.
I mean,
we could,
especially the first round.
We could broadcast.
You need to talk to if we got that new sponsor.
We could broadcast the entire round.
Give out prizes for people to get the pick right.
Yeah, exactly. Whoever gets the pick right gets a used T-shirt.
Well, I mean,
or a coffee.
I won a T-shirt last year. It was a medium, so all I did was wash my car with it. I couldn't get it over my neck.
All right, everybody. Hey, once again, we're sponsored by Bird on the Run Southside, 1733 East Carson Street in beautiful Southside part of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Get down there, get yourself a spicy chicken sandwich, nuggets, strips, fish sandwiches, waffle fries, coleslaw, and world famous beignets for dessert. Got all kinds of different sodas there for you to drink. And also, hopefully coming soon, there will be other things available for at Bird on the Run South Side. So that's Bird on the Run South Side. You can order online at www.birdontherun.com. That's birdontherun.com. You can also find them on all your delivery platforms, Uber Eats, DoorDash, and Grubhub. You can find us on email if you want to say you love the show.
Email?
Got a question, you can't stand us, at basementsportspodcast@gmail.com. That's basementsportspodcast@gmail.com.
Which you guys suck at, by the way.
Yeah, you guys need to send us some more emails. But you can also find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. But
we keep sending it out on Facebook. We got a copyright. No.
You know what? We'll talk about that after I figure out what we did wrong.
Yeah.
But also, you can hear us wherever you listen to your podcast. So check us out.
The best way to get us, honestly, because I just had people asking me where they can listen, go to Twitter, go to your search bar, put Basement Sports. It is a red and white logo. When you click on the Basement Sports logo, all of them are in there. They're labeled as far as football draft, pre-draft, as far as
a number,
fantasy baseball. It's labeled about what we talked about. You can put it on. You can put it on the car. It's very easy to find us.
Yeah.
And we think you're going to like it more than you think you're going to like it.
If you like it, please give us a 5-star review. If you don't like it, just don't say anything. but again, you can find us there. We always post both the SoundCloud recording, but also the iTunes podcast, the version, Apple podcast.
And just know that if you do not like it, you will be up for the Eat a Dick Award for the following week.
Exactly.
So we do have an Eat a Dick Award.
Yeah. Joe Lenardi.
Joe Lenardi this week. I think he wins.
He wins, yes.
I was going to nominate all the people that were busting on Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, thank you for that, too. Right? That's something we could have talked about. I don't get all the hatred.
Donna Taurasi and someone else were saying, wait till she gets to the pros. Well, go ahead.
Okay. You guard her now.
That's exactly what I said. Okay, tough girl. You guard her when she first plays.
Exactly.
She's still going to drop a three from half court.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was a nominee.
But you think that Lenardi deserves it.
Oh, Joe Lenardi.
Runaway winner.
Questionably.
Runaway winner.
Is the Eat a Dick Award. So now we have two members. We have Roger Goodell, who's a lifetime member, and Joe Lenardi.
Congratulations, Joe.
We'll try to tweet that to you.
Yeah, congratulations.
Leave.
That's awesome. Good
Thanks
for you.
Thanks, everybody.
Man.
We appreciate it.
Hey, also, you can check us out on Spotify. You can check us out on Odyssey or the former iHeartRadio. You can, wherever you like your podcast, you can find us, Basement Sports Podcast. Thank you, everybody. Talk to you next week.